hospital at Crawford Long in Atlanta all week, and I've been noticing sick people in the hospital, folks that need to get well, people that need a cure. Both in ICU and in the regular hospital, people are sick, and they need a cure. They need to be healed. And you know, we live in a world that's sin sick, that needs healing. Thank God Jesus can heal the sickest heart. I'm glad, praise God, that his blood can make the vilest sinner clean. It's a good place to say amen. Oh yes, it can. No matter how sin sick this old world gets, praise God Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Matter of fact, last Sunday morning in the 11 o'clock service, a man came, 64 years old, cried out to Jesus. Well, he's lost, and his wife died a few years ago. I was with him at the funeral home in Villarica, Georgia, and we've been praying for him, and the Lord just moved on his heart, and he was here in this worship service, and after everybody left, God got a hold of him back there in one of those rooms. Brother Russell and I, his brother Louis Howard, got on his knees and said, Jesus, save me, 64 years old. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's a thrill. Last Sunday night, I had three precious souls to be baptized. And it was glorious. Lee Whitley, 29. Susie Powell, 23 years old. And then Madison Reese, 14 years old. God's doing a work. I just want you to join him. Let's join him and see what he's doing. But you know what God spoke to my heart about as I was up at the hospital one day last week. I believe it was on Monday. Got there a little after 7 o'clock in the morning to pray with Brother Sonny before they took him back for surgery. And we finally were able to see him about 5 o'clock that afternoon. Somewhere around that time. But throughout the day, God began to speak to my heart about what I want to share with you this morning. Lord helping, Holy Spirit enabling. And it's this. It seems like today that there is a don't care attitude among a lot of people. Have you noticed that? Just don't care attitude. Just don't care. And so the Lord began to speak to my heart about that. The cure for a don't care attitude. I heard about one man talking to another man, and he said to the man, he said, do you know what the number one problem is in our nation? Another man said, no, I don't know, and I don't care. He said, well, do you know the number one problem in the church today? He said, no, I don't know, and I don't care. He said, you know what one of the number one problem in families are today? No, I don't know, and I don't care. You know, that's the attitude of a lot of people today. Matter of fact, that's the attitude of a lot of Christians today. I just don't know, and I don't care. Maybe there's somebody in you today that you've kind of gotten that way. Things that happen around us with the government and things that we can't change, and you can't beat them, join them, and it's easy to develop, beloved, a don't care attitude in a world in which we're living today. But I've got good news for you. We don't have to have a don't care attitude. It reminds me of the story of that lady that was pulled over for speeding. She was a senior adult in her 70s. And the police officer pulled her over and said, ma'am, can I see your license? She said, no, sir, I don't have a license. He said, what do you mean you don't have a license? She said, I lost it because I was drunk driving about a few years ago. He said, well, ma'am, can I see your registration for this car? She said, no, sir, I don't have a registration for this car. She said, I stole it. He said, you did what? She said, I stole it. He said, you stole it. She said, yes, I did. I stole it from the owner. And she said, not only that, but I killed him. I murdered the owner of this car. He said, you did what? You got caught for drunk driving. You don't have a license. You don't have registration. You stole the car and you murdered the man that owned the car. She said, yes, I did. And she said, I cut him up and his body parts are in the trunk. He said, wait a minute. His body parts under the trunk. He said, wait a minute, stay right here. And he went back to his car. He said, I got to call backup. So he called some backup patrol officers. They came to the scene. Man got out of his car. A backup officer. He had his gun half cocked. He said, lady, get out of the car. She got out of the car. He said, lady, open the trunk. She opened the trunk and there wasn't anything in it. It was empty. He said, now, wait a minute, lady. He said, you got a driver's license? She said, I do. She handed him her driver's license. He said, do you got registration for this car? She said, I do. She reached in the glove compartment, handed him the registration. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, my fellow officer told me that you didn't have a license, you didn't have registration, and there were body parts in a bag in the trunk. And she blurted out, she said, well, I guess that liar told you I was speeding too. Don't care attitude. Don't care attitude. May I take you on a little journey this morning as God helps us, the Holy Spirit helps us, as we take a little journey. Number one, there are two steps to curing this don't care attitude. Two steps. Here they are. Number one, we've got to find the causes of a DCA, don't care attitude. DCA, get it down good, get it down right. DCA, don't care attitude. Well, first of all, we've got to find the causes of a don't care attitude. And then, if we're going to find the causes, then thank God we're going to find a cure for a don't care attitude. Take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And Luke's gospel, chapter 2. Stand to your feet as we read Luke, chapter 2. The Lord began to lead me back to this passage of scripture as I shared with you early in the week as I was thinking about this subject title, don't care attitude. A cure for a don't care attitude. Look at it with me. And I know it's so easy to develop a don't care attitude. I battle with it just like you do. And then look with me, please, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Now, in the context of Luke chapter 2, you're well aware, Luke, the physician, writes primarily to declare that Jesus was the Son of Man, declaring him to be God. And then in Luke chapter 2, it's already an unfolding of the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We progress to the story as Jesus has already been born. Thank God he has already been born. We pick up in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just. The word just is dikaios. It means righteous. He was a just and devout man, and he was an upright man. Notice, he was a just. The same man was just and devout, waiting. Underline that word waiting. Circle that word waiting. Waiting for the consolation. The word consolation, parakleison, is the word. Paracleson is a better pronunciation. The word consolation, some translate that as comfort. He was waiting for the comfort, or waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Wow. And it was revealed unto him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that is the Messiah, the Mashiach, the promised one. And then notice verse 27. And it came, he came by the Spirit, underline that phrase. He came by the Spirit into the temple, that is the outer court. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, verse 28, he took him, that is Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, despota is the word Lord, means master, sovereign. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant, doulos, servant, slave, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Don't you know he was happy? And then, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, both Jews and Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother, meaning Mary, marveled. They were amazed at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That is, some will believe, some won't. And there's different translations actually what that means. And a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, look at this, verse 35. A sword. And the word ramphia is the word for sword. It means a javelin. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. That is, one who interprets oracles. Some even suggest futuristic events. Here is a dear godly man and a dear godly lady. Verse 36 again. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the son of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I like people like Anna. And she is, look at this, verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them. Notice that, underline that. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city Nazareth. Let's pray. Father, now thank you for the word of God. We bless you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm nothing more than a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass without your power. I pray, God, you'll speak. I pray, God, you'll move. Oh, Father, cleanse me afresh. May every person in this place, God, deal with the difficulties you find in us, Lord. I pray, God, you'll bring us into victory from a don't care attitude. Oh, God, please set our souls on fire. Lord, oh, blessed God, at a time such as this, we yield to you. We surrender to you. We pray, Jesus, have your will and way with us and cleanse us and fill us today. And God, give us heaven's vision. Help us to be busy about your business. Do as one has already prayed today. Stir our hearts. Shake us, Lord, from complacency. Renew our strength, Lord. Help us to rejoice in you always. And again, I say rejoice. I bless you now. What you're going to do, encourage hearts, save souls, change lives. Help us, dear God, pull us through in these days to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we thank you now for your love, your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And amen. You may be seated. There are two steps if we are going to get victory over this don't care attitude. If we're going to overcome this don't care attitude, number one, we've got to find the causes of a don't care attitude. And that is found in verses 25 through all the way down to verse number 36. A don't care attitude. First of all, we got to find the causes of a don't care attitude. Tell me now, be honest with me. Have you gotten to the place where you just don't care? You just don't care. You say, I just don't care. I don't care about lost souls. I don't care about my prayer life. I don't care about my reading the Word of God. I don't really care about other things in life. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care about my job. I don't care about this or that or whatever it is. I got a feeling all of us at times develop a don't care attitude. So first of all, what are the causes of a don't care attitude? You'll notice in the text, the Lord spoke to my heart. If we can overcome it, there's at least three ways we can overcome a don't care attitude. Number one, if we can overcome a don't care attitude, number one, we, like Simeon, need to be watching for Jesus. That is, watching for Jesus expectantly. Watching for Jesus expectantly. Did you notice that in verse 25 and 26? If you're not going to, and if I'm not going to develop a don't care attitude, it's going to be a result of us watching, looking for Jesus. That's the problem, isn't it? We're not looking for him to come. We're looking at this whole earth, aren't we? We're looking at our jobs, aren't we? We're looking at our families, aren't we? We're looking at people around us, aren't we? We're looking at our resources, aren't we? We're looking at our finances, aren't we? We're looking at our neighbors, aren't we? We're looking at the negative things around us, and end result is we develop a don't care attitude. If we're going to have victory, if we're going to overcome a don't care attitude, number one, we have got to be watching for Jesus expectantly. But number two, if you'll notice here in the text, not only watching for Jesus, but walking by the Spirit obediently. Walking by the Spirit obediently. If we're not going to have a don't care attitude, it's going to be a result of us walking in the Spirit obediently. You'll notice that in verse 28 and 29. But not only that, you'll also notice in this text, really it starts in verse 27, 28. But you'll notice also, if we're going to develop a don't care attitude, not only is it, I'm giving you the outline right now, and we're going to follow that. That's why if you got a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, you're writing down and you'll be able to follow along what God is saying to us today. Number three, not only watching for Jesus expectantly and walking by the Spirit obediently. Number three, and that is worshiping the King humbly. Worshiping the King humbly. Now let's take a little journey and see the causes of a don't care attitude and the cure for a don't care attitude. Number one, did you notice here in the text where the Bible says that Simeon, look back at verse 25. In verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. We don't know a lot about Simeon. There's not a lot of mention in the Bible about this particular man. But we do know this. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And that's my prayer. Look at this. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just and devout waiting. You see that? There it is. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. I want to tell you something. During Simeon's day is parallel to our day. During the Roman government, similarities. Why? They wanted to dominate in the Roman government. They wanted to control everything just like today. But Simeon was not looking to the government. Rather, he was looking to God. Are you looking to the government? Are you looking to God? I'm telling you, you can develop a don't care attitude if you continually look to the government. Can I get a witness in the house? Y'all are quiet today. I know Georgia lost, and I know Georgia Tech lost, but that don't mean we can't worship God today. Come on, somebody talk to me. I'm not controlled by the sports world. Somebody talk to me. Come on now, folks. All them things aren't going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity. Amen. I can always tell what's going on Sunday morning, but anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, Simeon, praise God, he's looking not to the arm of flesh. He's looking for Jesus to come again. I mean, that is, we look for him to come again, but he was looking for him the first time. Now, I've got to think about this. The Bible doesn't say this, but I've got to think about it. You know, I wonder if Simeon, he didn't have the New Testament like we got it, but I wonder if he's got it looking over there in the Old Testament, and he probably read about there in Isaiah 53 where it said, you know, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with the stripes were healed. I wonder if he's got to say, yeah, man, that's talking about the coming of the Messiah. And then he probably read over there in Isaiah 53 that he'd be rejected, despised of men. He probably read over there in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child, call his name Emmanuel. He might have read over there in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. No doubt he was saying, oh, the Bible declares Jesus is coming, the Messiah's coming, and he was watching, he was waiting. I want you to know, just like Jesus came the first time, he's coming again. Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you anticipating? I've shared this with before. I'm not looking for the signs anymore, although there are plenty of them around us. I'm starting to listen for the trumpet to sound. Amen and glory, glory. I'm telling you, the trumpet could sound any moment, and Brother Jesus step out on the clouds of the morning just like that. And listen to me, beloved. If there is another message that ought to encourage the people of God and really keep God's people focused, it ought to be the message, Jesus is coming again. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only is his grace sufficient today, it'll be sufficient tomorrow and throughout all eternity. But speaking of expecting Jesus to come again, I heard about a man and a wife who was laying in the bed. And all of a sudden, the wife said to the husband, I mean, she was paranoid. She thought people were breaking her house for the longest time while they were living in their house, 20 years. And one night she said to her husband, shh, get up, there's somebody downstairs breaking in the house. And so he got up and he went down there, and it was a thief. The thief was ransacking their house, and the man shouted and said, what are you doing? And the thief looked and he started running out the door. The man said, wait. The thief turned around. The man said, I want you to meet my wife. And the thief said, meet your wife? He said, yeah, she's been expecting you for 20 years. I don't know about that, but I know this. I'm expecting for Jesus to come again. Are you expecting him to come again? How many are looking forward to him coming again? Oh, yes, brother. Yes, sister. He's coming again. And by the way, we got to be ready. We got to be watching. Praise God. The Bible says that there'll be some that'll be waiting and watching. Some will not be ready. Why? If we're not careful, we can get engulfed, entangled with the things of this old world and forget to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. But oh, brother, I want you to know, and sister, I want you to know, over there in Matthew 25, Jesus talked that parable about the 10 virgins. Now, keep in mind, in the context of Matthew 25, there's no doubt this is not necessarily a reference to the rapture. Rather, it's a reference to the second coming of Jesus coming in glory and power. While it's still true, these elements will still be evident during the rapture. Nonetheless, 5 virgins were foolish, yet 5 were wise. 5 had oil in their lamp waiting for the bridegroom. On the other hand, the other 5 were foolish. Why? They said, he's not coming. We can just do our own thing. And these, I don't know if they said it or not, but perhaps in modern day terminology, vernacular, people would say, well, these preachers have been preaching about Jesus coming again for all these years and he hadn't come back yet. I want you to know, one day for the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. I'm telling you, just as I'm standing here, Jesus came the first time. He's going to come back in glory and power. Are you ready for him? Are you ready for him? Oh, brother and sister, you better get your bags packed. We're leaving out of this old world. Reminds me of one of the moving stories, most moving story I've heard in some time. The year, August 1914. A man by the name of Ernest Shackleton, an expeditioner. His goal was to sail from England to Antarctica. He sent out an advertisement stating, men wanted, hard work, bitter cold, probably will not come back alive. And there was an overwhelming response of 29 men said, we want to go with Ernest Shackleton. As they were sailing in this treacherous water on this dangerous journey, they got caught in an ice jam. Consequently, their boat sank to the bottom of the ocean. However, they were able to escape with their life on an ice island called Elephant Island. But it looked like all hope was gone. Do you find yourself in it look like all hope is gone? Thank God it's not all gone with Jesus. And nevertheless, when time passed by, Ernest Shackleton, otherwise known as the Boss, his men knew him as the Boss. Frank Wild was a man who was second in charge, knew him as the Boss. And so it was the Boss that decided, as the men trying to keep them encouraged, exiled on this island of ice. It looked like they would not be rescued. And so Ernest Shackleton decided to take a 20-foot to 22-foot boat and 5 of his men to sail to get some help for the other men stranded on that island, not knowing he would return. And the men were skeptical about him ever returning and that they might ever be rescued. Day after day passed by. And the real hero in the story is a man by the name of Frank Wild, as I mentioned a moment ago. He was second in command. And Frank had a way of encouraging his men. He would have them entertained with games and keep their minds occupied on being ready for the Boss to come. In fact, every morning after one day, 105 days passed by, and finally Ernest Shackleton came to rescue the men. And Ernest Shackleton asked Frank Wild and the men, how did you keep motivated? How did you keep focused? Why didn't you develop a don't care attitude like we're preaching on the subject this morning? Here's what the men said. Here's what Frank Wild said. He said, every time they rolled up their sleeping bags in the morning, I would say to them, hey boys, get ready boys. The Boss could come back today. Get ready, boys. The Boss could come back today. Get ready, boys. The boss could come back today. I want you to know, Christian friend, get ready. The boss is coming back, and it could be today. I'm about to start shouting. Oh, brother and sister, I'm telling you, sure as I'm standing here, the Bible says as lightning shines out of the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Be also ready, Matthew 24:44. For you know not the hour the Son of Man comes. Oh, yeah. He's coming again in glory. How many believe he's coming? Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And then if we're going to overcome this don't care attitude, not only do we need to be watching for Jesus expectantly, but notice something else. We need to be walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit obediently. Look at the verse 26 and 27. Look at verse 26 and 27. And it was revealed unto him. God showed Simeon. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Brother, that's where faith is born, right there. When God says he's going to do something, thank God he's going to do it. Amen and glory. Look at verse 27. And you don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't be looking around now. Look at verse 27. And he came. Somebody help me. By the Spirit. He came by the Spirit, note that, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Here's the picture. Simeon is led by the Spirit. Simeon is, as we'd say, sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. God had given him an ear to hear. God had given him a heart to obey. God had given him a will to surrender. Tell me, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, will you obey? Will I obey? If we're going to overcome a don't care attitude, we have got to be led by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, that may be one reason why you're developing or I'm developing a don't care attitude. May I suggest to you today that what we need to do is say, Lord, I've been walking in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. That's why I've developed a don't care attitude. In fact, Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and verse 16, he said, walk in the Spirit. You should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another, that you may not do the things that you please. And then in verse 24 of chapter 5 of Galatians, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. Oh, the flesh profits nothing. But wait a minute. Simeon is being led by the Spirit. Tell me, can you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit? When the Spirit of God says, you need to come to the altar and pray, do you obey the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit says, you need to go and witness to somebody, are you that walking in the Spirit to obey the Spirit? When God says, you have been ugly, you have said something that was out of line, and you need to go and confess it, you need to go and get reconciliation. Are you that sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Or do you, like often we grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, and we justify our actions and we excuse our behavior, and then we miss out on the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading, and we develop a don't care attitude. Watch it. Simeon, God says, get over there to the temple. Get over there to the temple. The Spirit of God's leading him. I'm glad to tell you today, brothers and sisters, today, when the Holy Spirit's working on one end, he's working on the other. Woo! Glory! 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 Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Now, y'all might not be praying, and y'all might not be seeking God maybe today, but I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit of God confirms his will, and he opens doors, and he takes us places we couldn't go ourselves, it's worth shouting over. God's real. And brother and sister, I want you to know, when God begins to do stuff in our life, he wants glory for it. He don't want us to sit there and not give him glory. He wants us to say, hallelujah, my Redeemer lives. But often we don't do that. We've just gotten too used to just quenching, squelching, pushing down the Holy Spirit. Instead of saying, Lord, just have your way. Have your will. I know what you're afraid of. You're afraid somebody's going to call you a fanatic. You're afraid that somebody's going to call you a holy roller. Remember a guy, Rainwater? He used to say, if I'm holy, at least I'm holy. And if I'm rolling, I'm getting somewhere, thank God. So I'd rather be a holy roller than a dead Christian. Amen? I guarantee you this. Now, I'm not meddling. I don't mean to get ugly. But I guarantee you this. Some of us yesterday, I didn't watch the ball game. But I guarantee you, when your team scored and made good points, you didn't just sit there like you're doing today. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me, Christian. We're messed up. I love you, but I got to tell you this. God's dealt my heart about this thing. We get excited about a whole lot of other stuff, killing a deer and football and all that mess. And then we come to the house of God and we act like, something's wrong, folks. I can't hear you. If we're not careful, we can let the old world control us. Amen. I'm telling you, I love you, but I got to tell you that. You know, I have to be honest with you. When I had the privilege of preaching revival meetings, I've noticed this in different places. On Sunday morning, it's cold. It's cold. Particularly during certain seasons of the year. Because everybody's mind's on what happened the day before. Usually by Sunday night, people start warming up a little bit. And Monday night, the glory comes. I'm telling you, we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit or we can not cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Have you prayed before you came to the house of God today? Have you? I'm telling you, it's important. There might be somebody here that's lost this morning. And I want you to know, Holy Spirit's leading Simeon. He's saying, go there to the temple. Some of us need some breakthroughs this morning. Some of us need some breakthroughs this morning. And if we're not careful, we'll miss out. God, the Holy Ghost isn't going to keep on pulling on you and me. Sure, He can. Oftentimes, He passes by. And if we're not careful, we won't get in when the stirring comes in. Why? Because our mind's preoccupied. Why? Because maybe we got unconfessed sin in our life. And that's what develops a don't care attitude. Unconfessed sin. Amen. Negligence. Wait a minute. So God's leading Simeon over there to the temple. Guess what? Now this man had been waiting and watching for Jesus, the Messiah. Isn't it interesting, beloved? When Simeon shows up at the temple, guess who else shows up? Can't hear you. Oh, somebody help me out. Guess who else showed up? And it wasn't Barnabas, if you're wondering. Mary and Joseph shows up. I'm telling you, God is always on time. Somebody ought to start shouting right there. Somebody ought to say, amen. Somebody ought to say, I know He's on time. I've been praying about this thing. I've been fasting about this thing. I've been crying out to God about this thing. But the thing has not come to pass. But I want you to know God is faithful. He's always on time. He's not late. He's never early. And we need to rejoice in the Lord today. Amen, amen, and amen. It's all right to get happy. It's all right to rejoice in the Lord, isn't it? Come on, somebody help me. All right. And so the Holy Spirit's, you know, I need to be taught. And part of my responsibility as a pastor is to teach you and me how to be led of the Spirit. My responsibility is to equip the saints and love the saints. Hey, brother and sister, listen to me. I'm in the same battle you're in. Everything I preach about, I'm going through it too. So I understand what it is to live in this old world. I understand what it is to just get tied up in the world and miss out on heaven's best. But nonetheless, wait a minute, I had to camp there for a minute. I wasn't really planning on camping, but God told me to set up a tent right there and just camp for a little while. Now I believe that it's ready to take the tent down because He's led of the Spirit. Well, the question is, how many believe the Holy Spirit's real? How many believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you now? How many believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure? How many believe that the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment? How many believe that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll send my Comforter. He'll be with you, in you, and upon you. He'll guide you into all truth. Listen, my dear friend, we're not alone. The Holy Ghost is with us. Emmanuel. So, how do we be led by the Spirit? How can we be led by the Spirit? Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like to refer to it as a red light, a yellow light, a green light. Today the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Are you going to obey Him? Notice I didn't say you're going to obey it. Are you going to obey the Holy Spirit today? I've got a feeling that so often we've turned the snooze button off. The Holy Spirit's telling us to do stuff, and we have so said no to the Holy Spirit that we can't even hear the Holy Spirit now. Come on, talk to me. That's why we need revival. That's what revival does. It gets our ears cleaned out, the wax out of our ears, so we can hear the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit. Amen! Glory! And so, red light. What do you do at a red light? What do you do at a yellow light? Push the gas as hard as you can and go fast as you can, amen? Before the thing turns red. Last week I was coming back from Atlanta. How many know that the speed limit's 100 miles an hour on I-20 on, man, you get in Atlanta traffic, it's 70 miles an hour, I think 65, something like that. But if you're not going 75, you're going to get run over, amen? You just need to drive up there if you don't believe what I'm saying. Well, I just got off the interstate, and man, I've been six-lane traffic, and man, I tell you what, that's enough to stress out anybody, amen? And then I get on this country roads, and I'm coming back on Wednesday night, and I'm on one of these country roads. I've been going 75 miles, 80 miles, and said, I've been going some miles an hour. I'm telling that Black Mamba, buddy, that thing will glide and just keep on going and keep on going. But wait a minute. I get off on this country road, and man, I'm changing from 75 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, trying to, get in and out of traffic exits, da 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 da. And so I'm not making the transition just good. Y'all knew I was coming to that point, right? I had to build you up for that. And here I come on the country road, and I'm coming along, and I got to be at church, man. I'm late. Seems like I've been on the rush here lately. How many know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Rush, 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 rush. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Rush, 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 rush. Go here, do this. Anyway, I'm coming, and I got to be a certain time, and I'm going down the highway, and I pass the car, and I notice in the left corner of my eye, it looked like an emblem on the side that said Sheriff Department. And I had hardly gotten past the car, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and the blue lights came on. And it wasn't Walmart. It wasn't the blue light special at Walmart. Listen. I'm thinking, oh, I got to be at church. I got to be at church. And I was rushing here. I saw the blue lights. I put on my brakes. He turned off the blue lights. I said, hallelujah. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit. Oh, listen, folks, I got to confess my sin. Often I'm hard-headed and stubborn, and I don't listen to the Holy Spirit like some of us today, and we need to say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Lead us by your Spirit. If we're going to overcome a don't-care attitude, number one, watching for Jesus expectantly. Simeon did. Number two, walking in the Spirit obediently. Number three, worshiping the King humbly. Look at verse 28 following. Look at verse 28 of chapter 2. And then after Simeon comes to the temple, he took him up. Who? Jesus. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He didn't just sit there and say, oh, well, so what? He blessed God and said, Lord, Master, Sovereign, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word. In other words, I'm ready to die now. I believe that's the only reason you kept me alive, Lord, so I'd see you. You think that's why God's keeping you alive? So you and I'll glorify God? Hey, when we cease to glorify God, we're just existing. We're no use to God. God might as well take his own home if we're not serving and honoring him. That's why we were created. That's why you're here. I'm not here to make money. I'm not here to build a big castle here below. I'm here to worship and glorify and serve my Lord. That's his purpose for me, to conform me to his image. That's his purpose for you. Question, are you doing it? Am I doing it? God help me to do it. Look at verse number 30. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. That includes me. Aren't you glad God includes you in his family? Thank God, whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. I'm telling you, God included me. I don't know why he included me. I don't know why he loves me, but I know he does. And I want to thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, a wretch like me, saving my soul, making me whole, giving me purpose, giving me your plan. Oh, God, you've been good to me, and I thank you now. Verse 31. He says, verse 32, a light to lighten to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Hear me, here it is. Worship the King humbly. That's what Simeon did. He was watching for Jesus expectantly. He was walking in the Spirit obediently. Then when Jesus came, he grabbed him in his arms. Look at him, look at him, look at him. He holds him up. He says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, yeah. He worshiped the King obediently. You know what our world tells us? To worship the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. The Word of God says, and I don't have time to go over it all, but simply say this. You read it. Romans 1, 18 through 25. The downward trend of man's... First, there is man's condemnation, the wrath of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then there's not only man's condemnation, but there's God's creation. God said, I created the heaven and the earth. Look around. Hey, those who say they're not Christians, look around. There is a God, creation. Man's condemnation, God's creation, and then man's deception. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither indeed were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became as fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of the flesh. They might dishonor their bodies between themselves. Who worship, here it is, who worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Listen, Simeon knew that you worship God. God desires us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are we worshiping Him this morning? Are we really worshiping Him this morning? When we sang those songs, were our hearts in it? When we're hearing the Word of God preached, are we listening to God? Are we worshiping Him? Are we saying, yes, Lord, yes, it's you. What it's all about is you, Lord. It's not about me. The wise men came and fell down and brought gifts and worshiped the Lord, the King. Worship the King on glorious above and gratefully sing of his wonderful love. Crown him with many crowns. The Lord upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but a song. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee and crown him as thy matchless King throughout eternity. Yes, let's crown him as King. The woman with the alabaster ointment knew what it was to worship God. Tell me, do you have a time during the day where you can go and worship God? Do you have a closet? Do you have some prayer closet? Do you have some room? Do you have some time where you can just not tell God your grocery list of all that you want, but rather just worship Him for who He is? Listen to me, beloved. That woman with that alabaster ointment broke it over the head of Jesus and worshiped Him. Gave her all, whole year's payment. Worship. Worship. You know what, beloved? Might as well get used to worship. One of these days, and God gives that prophetic utterance in Luke's gospel, speaking of Jesus, says, God's going to give him the throne of his father David and his kingdom, there shall be no end. No end. He's going to reign forever and forever. And the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. He's going to reign. I don't know about you, beloved, but what keeps me from having a don't care attitude is knowing God is in control. And he is the one that's going to set up his millennium reign in Revelation chapter 20. And every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. He's going to be the King of Kings. He's already the King of Kings. But oh, brother, worship, worship, worship. And I said all that to come down to the more practical part of the message. First, we've got to find the causes of a don't care attitude. One, it may be that you're not looking. I may not be looking, watching for Jesus expectantly. That'll cause a don't care attitude. Two, if I'm not walking in the Spirit obediently, that'll cause a don't care attitude. Third, if I'm not worshiping the King humbly, that'll cause a don't care attitude. Now I want to quickly move to Anna, just for the sake of time. All right, we've talked about how to fix the causes of don't care attitude. Now, and how to find them. And then let's just briefly talk about how to fix a cure for a don't care attitude. Okay? And I know our time's about gone, but let me just share with you several ways to cure a don't care attitude besides what we've mentioned. All right, here they are. Number one, bear one another's care. Bear one another's care. I'm telling you today, every one of us have care on our shoulders. Come on, talk to me. Every one of us have concerns. Every one of us have problems, right? You agree with me? Okay. Everybody's got problems, right? We all got care. Here's how we can keep from having a don't care attitude. It's by bearing each other's burdens. I don't know about it, doesn't say clearly, but I imagine old Anna in the temple. Anna, you know what Anna probably did? Anna's in the temple. Now, by the way, she says she's 84. Now, I don't know if her age is 84. Some say she was a widow for 84 years. Some say she was widow for 84 years, but she was married 7 years. Let's see, 84 plus 7 equals? Come on and help me. We got one mathematician in the house, 91. Now, some say she got married at 15. So if she got married, and I'm just speculation, all right? If she got married at 15 and she was married for 7 years and she was a widow for 84 years, how much does that equal? 106 years. She probably was 106 years old, according to some. It don't matter how old she is. Thank God she was a godly woman. That's the point. But here she is in the temple. And don't you know she's praying? And I don't think she's just sitting in the temple praying for herself day after day after day. Do you think she was praying for herself? Oh, no, no, no. She's got burdens. She's got problems. She probably got a family somewhere. The Bible doesn't say she's bearing each other's burdens. Can I tell you what happened last week at the hospital? I'm telling you, you can bear each other's burdens today. Up at the hospital, Mary Prince, sleeping in on that couch in the ICU room. You've been there, done that, you know what it's all about. If you hadn't been there, done that, then it's hard to relate. Night after night after night. And God sent a lady up to the hospital on Thursday, a lady named Virginia. I don't know if you know or not, but Brother Sonny's involved in rehab, and he's met a man named Charles and a man named Virginia. And they came up to the hospital, and only because they didn't know the condition and the situation. But anyway, long story short, I'm sitting in the waiting room. Mary's sitting on this side, and Virginia's sitting on the other side. And Virginia says this to Mary. They didn't stay very long, maybe 20, 30 minutes. And Mary, Virginia says this to Mary. She says, you know what? My husband was up here for 27 days or 30 days or something like that. He's had so many surgeries. Well, what did that do to Mary? Mary, I could sit there all day long and try to encourage Mary and pray for Mary, and I'm going to do that. And I trust that God's ministering to her. But what does it do when somebody comes, sits right beside you, that's been where you've been, and say, I know how you feel? That's what I'm talking about, bearing burdens. Number two, not only bearing each other's care, you know, Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Chapter 6 and verse 2 and 3, Galatians. And then not only bearing burdens, but number two, bearing each other's care, and then secondly, sharing your care. Sharing your care. You know what that does? You know what that does? Y'all listen, don't drop me out yet. I know my time's about to go up, but don't drop me out yet. You know what it does when you're able to tell somebody else what you're going through? If you don't, read my lips. It's therapy. Therapy. It is healthy. It helps. You've got all that stuff on you, and you don't need all that stuff on you. God knows your frame. He knows we're but dust. The Bible says in Psalm 103, He knows our frame. He hadn't made us that we're supposed to carry the world on our shoulders, but God said we can bear each other's burdens, bear each other's care, and then share your care. I'm not talking about gossip. I'm talking about sharing your care. Is that biblical? Yes. How do I know? James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here's the value of that. Y'all listen to me. Do you know how much psychiatrists and psychologists and Christian counselors are getting today for 1 hour? $100 an hour. $100 an hour to sit and listen, some more, some less, to listen to somebody else's problems. I can save you $100, amen? It does something to you to help you share. I got a call last week, among many calls last week, but one was this: Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, sure, I will. And they began to tell me about problems on their job, stuff that they're going through, and things that they just wanted to share their heart. Y'all follow me? Doesn't it do you good sometimes just to talk with somebody? You know, it's not going to condemn you or not going to judge you, but just loves you anyway, and it just helps you to talk with. Some of you today need to talk with somebody. I can tell you just need to talk with somebody and just say, hey, I want to talk with you, and I don't want answers, but I just want to share. Well, after listening to them, and I could tell the Lord was helping them out. Hey, listen to me. Come today. I'll be glad to talk with you. I'm a nobody, but I'll be glad to talk with you. You can talk with me. You got to be careful. Now, you need to tell. You say, Brother Pastor, I don't want you to answer me. Just listen to me. Because I'm prone to answer. But just say, I just want you to hear me. And I said, all right, I understand. I'll put it in the motor. All right, put it in this gear. Listen, don't try not to say anything, okay? But bear one of those cares, number one. Two, share your care. Three, prayer over care. Prayer over care. How can I keep from having a don't care attitude? Prayer over care. Let me tell you what happened to me last week. A man called me last week, 42 years old. He's not a member of the church, but here's what he said. He said, Brother Pastor, he had a lot of care on him. He had a lot of problems. I'm talking about how to not develop a don't care attitude. Share your care. Bear each other's care. Prayer over care. Here's what he said. 42 years old. He said, my knee is absolutely gone. It's shot. He said, I can't work. He said, I'm hurting all the time, and I can't work, and I don't know what I'm going to do. My knee and my other knee's about to go out too. He said, I don't know if I can keep it up. He said, I can hardly ride in my car. I can't. I'm having to do this and that. And anyway, I said, well, let's pray. After he shared his care. So let's just pray. Commit it to the Lord. He called me 2 days later. Here's what he said. I just want to call you back. I said, why? He said, I want to give you a good report. I said, oh, really? Tell me. He said, I just called my boss, big boss, and he said it's all right for me. And they're laying off, by the way. He said, it's all right for me to go ahead and have my surgery, no problem. I'll be out 8 weeks, and I still got my job, and I still got my pay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, when you bear each other's care, share each other's care, prayer over care, and then the last word that God gave me, share your prayer. Listen to me. What do you mean, chair? Here's what I mean. There's some care that we can't bear, and God knows it. Here's what we need to do with it. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Cast all your care upon the Lord, because He cares for you. About to start shouting again. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus! Cast all your care on the Lord. There's some care that'll drive us down. It'll take you to a premature grave. Can you hear me? I said it'll take you to a premature grave. I've been there at the graveside of people who died prematurely, and I say prematurely, stress and worry and all that stuff carried them to a premature grave. They didn't know what to do about it. They didn't take it to the Lord. It'll absolutely, the devil has his way. He's out to knock us out of the battle. He's out to come kill, steal, and destroy. I'm not saying everybody, but there's a lot of people that are so stressed out and on antidepressant medicines and all kinds of medicines, just a band-aid over a gaping wound. And God said, here's the problem. If you'll just cast your care upon the Lord, He cares for you. I'm not saying in every case. I know there's some cases where it's maybe a short-term situation. I'm dealing with a man right now. I'm not going to tell you anymore, but I've seen case after case. There's somebody here that could testify. There's others that could testify. We need God, and when there's sometimes we can't carry our burden, we got to learn to take it to the Lord and cast it on Him. Amen and amen and amen. Will you do it this morning? Will you do it this morning? Simeon was watching for Jesus. Watching for Him, expecting. Walking in the Spirit obediently, worshiping the King humbly. Anna was bearing each other's care. Anna was an instrument for others to share their care. No doubt she had care. You got care today? Let's don't leave with a don't care attitude. Let's let God fix it. Amen. Stand together.